everybody, to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Happy New Year to everyone. Glad to have you here today. Just a few announcements today. First of all, reminder that we have Rebecca's installation service coming up. It'll be in the afternoon on January 27th, and everybody's invited to come to that. We hope that you can make that. There'll be a session meeting this Wednesday night at 7 p.m., so all the new members of session, please come. Happy to have you there. The other thing is, because the end of the year happened already, people who have to do financial reports, please start working on your financial reports so we can get those reviewed, so we can do our annual financial information. What else? Am I missing anything?
Who do we turn them into?
What's that?
Who do we turn them into?
For right now, turn them to me, and we'll make sure the auditors will get them, okay?
Next Sunday's installation ordination.
Yes. And thank you, Rebecca. Yes, next Sunday is ordination installation for those people coming on boards. So please be here. If you can't be here, let us know so we can make adjustments appropriately for that. Yes, Carol.
2019 on check.
Yes, yes. And if Carol hasn't seen you today, she's been handing out the records of your giving from last year. So please see Carol, and she'd be happy to give you a piece of paper or two. So with that, we turn over to Rebecca.
Please join with me in our call to worship. We gather wondering, where will we find the babe born in Bethlehem? We will find the babe in the laughter of children, in the wisdom of grandparents. We gather asking, where will we find the child of Christmas? We will find the child where the needy are gifted with hope, where the oppressed are set free. We gather wanting to know, where will we find the Christ who has come for us? We will find our hope where fear is overwhelmed by grace, where hatred is overwhelmed by love, where all people are overwhelmed by joy. Please rise and join with me in our opening hymn, number 121, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Still we see thee lie.
Please join with me in our prayer of confession. God, our fears and prejudices run deep. Sometimes we can only see our own point of view. We stick with those who are like us, rarely venturing outside our comfort zones. We do not hear those crying for justice and true peace. We blame those who are suffering and in need, instead of standing by them. We deny the power of your gospel to unite us with those who are different from us. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Open us to new possibilities of life for all your people, and use us to enact the new life given in Christ. Let us say together our words of assurance. God's life-giving word and spirit conquer the powers of sin and death. Thanks be to God for the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Let us now confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In a moment, we are going to greet one another in faith, but for the children's sermon, you are going to need the stars in your bulletin. So when you guys come forward, make sure you grab the star that's in your bulletin. Let us greet one another in faith.
The baby Jesus. So, to help us enter into the spirit of Epiphany, I created these things called star words. So in all of your bulletins, all of you have a star that has a word on it. Now, I accidentally printed these double-sided, so technically you have two words on your star. So you can pick which word resonates the most. Which word would you like to pick?
Can you use the dictionary?
Yes, I'm gonna explain it to you. Okay, you're gonna go with remembrance. Which one do you want to go with? Restoration. How about you? star word is to just take some time to sit with it. What I mean by that is if you have a word that you don't know what it means, look it up. At the other service, my word was, it was renewal. So I looked up a couple different definitions for it because a lot of our words have a couple different meanings for them. If you look it up and you still aren't sure what it means, you can ask somebody what it means. So if you have refinement, for example, and you look it up and it says something like, to make something perfect, and you're not quite sure what that means, ask somebody. So all of the words on our stars are words that are meant to help us in our Christian faith. So some of the words are virtues, things like patience or love or humility. Some of the words are vices, like I think I have swearing on there is one of them. Hopefully somebody got that and is offended by it. But the point of these words is that as we go into this new year, this is kind of a simple way that we can maybe learn new things together. So in the spirit, so I have to confess, I'm really bad at New Year's resolutions, partially because I pick really outrageous ones. So like it's not good enough that I go for a walk once a week. I have to start working out for 3 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what frequently happens when I pick unrealistic New Year's resolutions is I can't complete them. I can do them for like a week. So this year, I wanted to pick a New Year's resolution that was a little bit simpler and maybe one I could sustain over longer time. So what I've decided to do is I've decided to every day, or most days, when I'm praying, to try to pray into this word. So for example, if my word is safety, maybe one of the things I'll pray about is, who is unsafe in my community? God, can you show me what this looks like? Or what does it mean to be safe? What are the kind of things you need to feel safe? Those kind of questions. And my hope is that by the time we get to the end of the year, and we've spent a whole year with our words, we will have learned something new about ourselves and about God. So I hope you enjoy these words. a disclaimer is, we randomly put them in the bulletins. So if you got like humility, I'm not trying to send you like a coded message. So don't think that like this was some kind of ulterior motive here. All right, I'm going to say a prayer. You can keep your star words, and we'll continue with worship. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that many thousands of years ago, you sent wise men in search of Jesus as they followed the star. We pray that these star words would help us in our own journeys of faith. We pray this month in January that you would familiarize us with our words, help us to know what they mean, help us to ask good questions with them. And Lord, we pray that in all that we are and all that we do, we would continue to grow in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Oh, Good morning, Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
This first prayer request is from Roy and Janet Weckerly for their nephew, Eric Schwartzmeyer. Please pray for his family at his untimely death. Prayer request from Tom DeWorken for Vicki Summers. Prayers for her improved health from her condition. Prayer request from Tom DeWorken for Skip Gorzak, liver failure due to years of alcohol abuse. From Tom DeWorken to Barb DeWorken, his sister, recovery from knee surgery. It's going to be a long journey. Second one scheduled for March. This is corrective knee surgery, and she's at McGee Hospital. Tom DeWorken for Helen Gorzak. God bless her. She's 95 years old. She's in hospice care, doing fairly well, but prayers are needed for dignified care, and she's at Fair Oaks.
At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me in our hymn of preparation, number 110, Love Has Come. Be seated. Since we are serving communion this Sunday, the pastoral prayer is a part of the communion liturgy, so we're going to move straight into our offering. Let us continue to worship God by presenting our tithes and our offerings.
I'm sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, He saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world." Oh. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. Such a strange way. A strange way, such a strange way to save the world.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture for today is Matthew 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem was with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" When Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared, then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the 12th day after Christmas, otherwise known as Epiphany. Now, Epiphany falls every year on January the 6th, and we have the great fortune of having January 6th fall on a Sunday this year. Epiphany celebrates the Magi's visit to the baby Jesus, which is the first time that God revealed God's self to the Gentiles, aka anyone who is not Jewish, or in other words, all of us. Without Epiphany, we Gentiles may not have ever found Jesus. The Magi from our scripture passage for this morning were astrologers. Their job was to watch the heavens and look for signs of divine movement. The Magi believed that they saw a sign that the King of the Jews had been born in Bethlehem. So they consulted with their boss, a man named King Herod. Now, King Herod was not thrilled of news of another king, because there can only be one king. King Herod was especially not happy when he consulted with his chief priests and scribes, and they confirmed for him that a king of the Jews was to be born in Bethlehem. Now, Herod was a smart man. He told the Magi to go and find the child so that he could worship him. But make no mistake, King Herod had no intention of worshiping Jesus. He wants the Magi to do his dirty work for him. They will find the child so he can kill him. The Magi follow the star to Bethlehem, and when they get there, they ask for directions to the manger. There they find the baby Jesus. They give him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Interestingly, the Magi don't tell King Herod of what they found, because they have this dream that tells them that King Herod can't be trusted. So they decide to return home by following a different route. What I love about the story of the wise men is that they remind us that in Jesus, everyone is invited to know God, even those who don't seek him in conventional ways. This week, in preparation for Epiphany, I cut out about 100 star words. These stars all contain words to reflect on in the new year. Just as the wise men followed the star to the baby Jesus, I wanted us all to have one word to reflect on as we journey through this path of discipleship together. Now, after I had finished cutting out all of the stars, I thought, what the heck? I'll reach my hand in the folder and I'll pick out a star word. As luck would have it, my star word for 2019 is renewal. The first thing I did when I found out that that was my word was I looked it up in the dictionary. Renewal comes from the word renew, and it means to make like new, to restore to freshness, vigor, or perfection, which I interpret to mean doing an old thing in a new way. So the next question I ask myself is, who do I know that is doing some kind of renewal well? And I couldn't help but think of my friend Laura, who you all will get to meet during my installation service. She is pastoring a church plant in Lawrenceville called Sanctuary Faith Community. And they get together once a month on Sunday evenings for what is called a pub talk. Now, these pub talks happen in a bar in Lawrenceville. And once a month, Laura pulls together somebody who is an expert in something. And these experts range from being, we had a spoken word poet come once. Who else have we had? We had a Post-Gazette journalist come. Last month, we had a pediatric surgeon come. And all of these various experts come to talk about how their faith impacts either their work or their lives. I asked Laura why she did these pub talks, because for the most part, people who come to them are not people who come to church or even to her church regularly. My friend Laura said that she was getting really tired of the way that people were interacting with each other when they disagreed about something. You were no longer just allowed to disagree with somebody. If you disagreed with somebody, you had to make fun of their character. It wasn't enough that you disagreed. You had to make that other person look dumb. The other thing is she was witnessing how this uncivil discourse was actually turning people away from the church. See, my friend Laura is one of the only pastors I know whose primary demographic is people from like 22 to 40. So she's working with young people. And she said that she's realized that young people are still seeking Jesus, but that they're doing it in ways that might look a little bit different from the way that their parents or even their grandparents did it. So she wanted to create a space where young people, specifically unchurched young people, could come and ask questions about the intersection of faith and their lives. So last month, we gathered for a discussion on, and I'm not making this up, Harry Potter, genetics, and discrimination. Our speaker was and is an assistant pediatrics professor at the University of Maryland. So we learned the odds of a muggle, which is a non-magic person, which is also a dominant gene, and a witch, which is a magic person and a recessive gene, having a magic child or a child that is also a witch and or a wizard. We also looked at the genetic code of people called mudbloods, who are children who have magic powers, but neither of their parents are magic people. And we compared that genetic code to magic children who were born of magic parents. And what we saw was that the genetic code wasn't really that different at all. So then we had a really fascinating conversation about, is discrimination a product of cultural conditioning or scientific fact? Now, I know the description I just gave you sounds super nerdy, and if you haven't read any of the Harry Potter books, those words I threw out probably don't mean anything. But what I love about these pub talks is that it gives unchurched people an opportunity to ask the same questions that churched folks have been asking for centuries. What is the relationship between faith and science? What does it mean to be a good person? What, if any, difference does my faith make in how I go about my everyday life? The other thing that I love about pub talks is that they take the same four goals of church, which I define as hospitality, or caring for others, community, or sharing your life with others, discernment, making decisions with others, and worship, praising God with others. And they reimagine these traditions for a generation that didn't grow up in the church. Sanctuary provides the space and the refreshments that kind of anchor our gatherings. The core members of the church are really intentional about inviting their friends who are not in church to come to these gatherings, and they really kind of help them learn what they're supposed to do when they're there. It doesn't matter who is speaking, all of the talks center on what is the relationship between our faith and our lives. We always end all of our time together with an optional but communal prayer. As a pastor, these pub talks are the main time that I get to interact with people who don't go to church. And what I love about them is they remind me that it doesn't matter who you are, we all have really similar questions. Who am I? What am I doing here? Is there something bigger than me at work here? Another thing I love about them is they remind me that truth has to hold up in dialogue with somebody else. Otherwise, what you think is truth is just your opinion. My other really favorite thing about these pub talks is people come range in age from 18-year-olds. My friend Laura is also the pastor at Oakmont, and the chair of her mission committee comes, and the very sweet man has to be in his 70s and is clearly the oldest person at the pub talks, and I just love him dearly. But what's really cool about getting people together in all of these different ages is it just reminds me everybody has questions. It doesn't matter how long that you have been a Christian. And the goal of Christianity is not always to have all the right answers, but it's willing to ask questions and really listen to one another. What I love about our scripture passage for today is that the wise men are the weirdest possible characters to show up at this point in the story. They're outsiders in terms of language, culture, education, and belief. They didn't know for sure that this star they saw was definitely going to lead them to Jesus. Yet, they teach all future generations of Christians how to seek Jesus. The first thing they teach us is that we need to study tradition. The Magi didn't just accidentally pick the right star that led them to Jesus. No, they dedicated their lives to separating signs from just regular star constellations. They stood on the shoulders of those who had come before them and used their knowledge to move their discipline forward. They respected King Herod's authority, but they defied him when it was necessary for the sake of the greater good. I don't know if you noticed in the story, but the Magi only got to Jesus because they stopped and they asked for directions. All of their years of study could only put them in the town where Jesus was born. They had to rely on the hospitality of strangers to complete their journey. Had they not stopped and asked for directions, who knows if they would have found Jesus. And finally, the wise men teach us to have the courage to follow the signs. Yes, we need to study and know what these signs can look like. Yes, we need to ask for help. But at a certain point, we just have to follow these signs into the unknown. And when we're following these signs, we're never going to really know for sure if we're doing the right thing or not. We might even get a little bit lost along the way. That's okay. Sometimes it is the point of following the signs is to follow them, not necessarily to do it perfectly. Friends, because of the Magi, we get to know Jesus and therefore know God. And the Magi teach us that there's really no one linear path to following Jesus. And it's okay if somebody follows a different path. But once we find this star, once we experience the light of Christ, we are the ones through whom the light gets to shine forth. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can remain seated for our communion hymn. It is number 501, Feed Us, Lord.
child to sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast that he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our all thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and serve you, and to live in peace with your whole creation. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. We pray for Vicky, for Skip, for Barb, and for Heather. Lord, we ask you to strengthen those who are facing particular challenges. Lord, we pray for the family and friends of Eric. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we lift up to you our country as our government shutdown enters its third week. Lord, we pray for all of the federal workers who are either working without pay or not working. Lord, we pray that an end to the shutdown would come quickly. Lord, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit of peace upon our legislators. Lord, we thank you for the beginning of the new year in our church. We thank you that many thousands of years ago, you sent wise men out into the unknown, following a star in search of the baby Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage we need to follow you into the unknown. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat.
This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a sign of the new covenant shed for you in my blood. That whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me.
God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. Ignore eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work through your praise and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please rise and join with me in our closing hymn, We Three Kings. Let me say a word of blessing. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. God has a purpose to you being there. God in Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.